Yes, even as we celebrate Caden as a child of God, so are we. Yes, I am. Yes, we are. You know, it was so special, Katie and Patrick, for Pastor Greg and I to be part of Caden's baptism because we've been part of many spiritual moments in your lives growing up here. We remember you watching our kids when they were little, and I'll tell you what a joy it is to be able to be part together of Caden's baptism. Spirit of the battle, he is that. And if he needs to take a break, we get it. You know, that's maybe too subtle, I don't know. But whatever's good for Caden, that's good for us too. So we've been focusing on a baptismal theme in that we've been focusing on a discipleship journey. So as Caden just takes a little trip right now, we know that we focus not only on being children of God, but God creating us as his children to be disciples of Jesus, to be disciples of God as well. And this journey we've been on for the past several weeks now is a journey called Revolution. It's a discipleship pathway. And throughout this time, we have focused on different themes. Do you remember the week one of the theme was to follow Jesus? And then week two, we focused on serve Jesus. And then week three, we focused on learn from Jesus. And week four, just last week, we focused on become like Jesus. Not become Jesus, there's only one Jesus, but become like Jesus. And today, we're going to focus on what it means to be empowered by Jesus. What does that mean? What does that look like in your life? What is it that God is saying to you this day? How is it that God wants to empower you for whatever it is that God has in store for you, the world situations you may face in your life situation? These are words that are as relevant today as they were when they were spoken in Scripture. And so today we come with, we trust and pray, open hearts and open minds to hear how it is that God desires to empower us, just as Caden is being empowered through the gift of baptism. So what does that mean for us? And this is an invitation that Pastor Greg and I often extend, and that is that if there are any here today who have not been baptized and desire to have that conversation with Pastor Greg or myself or any of the others, please talk with us. Let us know your story. Just 2 weeks ago, I had one of the grandmothers of one of our preschool students came and said, you know, Pastor, I've never been baptized. And we talked about what that meant. And in just a couple more weeks, she's going to be baptized as an adult. And that's going to be a special day of empowerment in her life. So that invitation is there. I want to begin this message by talking, or rather praying with you, a prayer that is an empowering prayer that was used every Sunday in the church that I grew up in by the pastor. So would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Those words, that prayer for me is a prayer of empowerment, and I hope it is for you too. So first thing I want to do today is, beyond that prayer, is to address the elephant in the room. We all know it's Super Bowl Sunday, do we know? It's Super Bowl Sunday, and for one of our pastors, this will be a Super Sunday. It is. And so the rest of the pastors are counting the days till spring training starts. But for this pastor and his beloved Philadelphia Eagles, we trust, hope, pray that it'll be a Super Sunday. And I know there's hopes that they'll be empowered today. But one of the things that Pastor Greg is quick to lift up is that both the quarterbacks for the Philadelphia Eagles are Christ followers. And both of them have been empowered by God. And so Carson Wentz, who is injured and not able to play today because of his injury, and Nick Foles, who will be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles today, are using this as their platform to talk about their relationship with Christ. And those are not hollow words. They are Christ followers. And they have been empowered by Jesus. And today we're going to focus upon what it means for us, what it looks like in our lives. And the scripture has so many words about what it means for us to be empowered by Jesus. I love this passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians, one of my, I think, and Pastor Greg's favorite books of the Bible. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that passage. Would you read it with me? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Those words are words of promise. When it says God is working in you, that means God is working in you. Yes, he's working in others as well, but own it, believe it, allow it to come into your life, because what it means is that God desires to work in you. It's not just reserved for others, in you. And as God works in you, God gives you the desire. That's desire that comes from God, and the power, not just any old power, but the power to do what pleases him. That's a special kind of power. When we are following Jesus, when we're serving Jesus, when we're learning from Jesus, when we're becoming like Jesus, Jesus gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases God. That's powerful stuff. It's incredible stuff. But what does that look like in your life? I want to know, what does it look like for you? And I hope you're asking that question. What does that look like? How do I own that? How does God bring that into my life? Ron Hutchcraft, a Christian storyteller and Christian speaker, tells this story about an art gallery that's hosting a contest in which they encouraged painters to bring in that painting which they believed most personified peace. And there's going to be a great prize given to the painting that most personified peace. Much to the surprise of almost everybody there, the winner of that was this painting. And as the people looked at it, they thought, oh my goodness, there's lightning flashing all around. There's a horrible storm. The water that is there is water that is coming off the cliffs because of the big waves that have just hit it. How in the world could this be a depictment, a personification of peace? It was only as they looked more closely that they saw what the judges had seen. And that is that halfway up the cliff, in a little hollowed out space, there was a mother bird protecting her little chicks, guarding them and protecting them in the midst of the storm. Hutchcraft says, when you read God's word, you realize that God does not promise us absence of storms in our lives. No, instead, God promises that he will be there for us. He will bring us peace and power in the midst of the storm. And so I'm wondering today if there are any of you, and I'm not going to make you raise your hands or anything, but I'm wondering, who among us, maybe each among us, are encountering right now a storm in your life? Or maybe there's a storm on the horizon. Or maybe you've just gone through a stormy time in your life. I hope you hear the message from Scripture that God's promises are to be present with you, to provide you peace and power right in the midst of the storm. That's the promise of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. When God promises that he will create within you the desire and the power when you follow him. So there's this other situation that is a real live situation that actually happened. And I'm going to read this. It's a radio transcript that happened way back in 1995 off the coast of Newfoundland. And this is the actual recording of the transcript. I read this for you because sometimes when it comes to our journey in following Christ, we sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find I kind of like to insist upon having it my own way. kind of coaching God along the way to see it my way. So listen to this transcript and see what you might learn from it. Americans, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision.
Canadians, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision.
Americans, this is the captain of a United States Navy ship. I say again, divert your course.
Canadians, no, I say again, you divert your course.
Americans, this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north. Or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship.
Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call.
Your call. How are we going to follow Jesus this day? What light, what true light will we follow this day? The one that really empowers us? Matthew, I love that book in the Bible. In Matthew's gospel, there are lots of passages that talk about Jesus empowering his disciples. In fact, the other gospels have many passages as well. I want to share with you from Matthew chapter 10 some words from Jesus about empowering his disciples. Now, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. Authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them authority to do that. In the context of Scripture, you should know that when Jesus gives authority, it's in the context of giving them authority not to lord it over others, but for others to discover the Lord in them. That's the kind of authority that Jesus invests in his disciples and in all who follow him. So I'm going to skip over some parts of this that list all the names of the disciples and go down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus actually gave them the power to do all of that. What is the power that Jesus is giving you today? Along with the power that Jesus invested in his disciples and for those who follow him, he also guards against the storms that were going to be coming into the disciples' lives. And these words transcend not only a message to the disciples, but they transcend into our lives as well. Listen to these words of warning and protection, empowering his disciples about what was about to happen. Be on your guard against those men who want to hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you say or how you will say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Again, Jesus empowering his disciples, God giving them the words to speak, giving them power in all situations, including the storms that were about to happen in their lives. Matthew goes on to record these words farther in his gospel. He says this, for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Jesus wanted his disciples to know, when he was speaking to them, these words of truth, that there would be things that they were called upon to do that would be simply impossible. And yet nothing is impossible for God. For the past several years, we've been engaged in an initiative called Beyond, and then the iteration of it was Above and Beyond. And the key verse that guided us, we rested on Scripture and God's promises. The key verse was from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, that talk about God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever hope or imagine. And God has done immeasurably more than all we ever hoped or imagined when we first began that Christ-following initiative several years ago. By God's power, God's authority, God's goodness, God's grace, oh, so many things have happened for the sake of the kingdom of God. Today, little Caden was baptized. Earlier, we baptized Jordy and Mackenzie, precious, darling children of God. Each of them already has a backstory. One of them started life kind of rough. One of them spent the first day, 8 days of his life in a NICU unit, neonatal intensive care unit, because he couldn't breathe right. He had to use a cooling blanket to help him, and it was touch and go for a while. There were moments when the parents broke down. There were moments when it was beyond what they wanted to even imagine. Yet God was with them in the midst of that storm. God gave them peace, and God gave them hope, and God gave them power to endure. Today we celebrated his baptism. One of the babies had a situation where they had to do some genetic testing because they believed there was a birth defect. That was a storm in the lives of those parents, not knowing for sure, being anxious. And yet in the midst of that storm, God provided their peace. God empowered them. They got good news that there were no genetic defects, and that was their good news. Sometimes the news is different, but whatever the news, and however, God always promises to be in the midst of those storms, giving peace and power. One of those precious children, the birth went just like clockwork. Everything went great. There were no apparent storms except that this was the second child. The other two babies are firstborn. The other one was the second child. And the first child in that family, well, let's just put it this way. He's been a little bit of a challenge for his parents. They're still suffering from sleep deprivation. And they're not sure how it's going to go with two, but in the midst of that, God's peace, God's power is coming into their lives as well. So each of these babies baptized today have backstories. Each of us have backstories as well. One of the ways in which our student ministries, children ministries, attempt to get at the backstories for our children and our students is to do crazy things like double dog dare-a-thons. Our Club 45 kids have been doing a double dog dare-a-thon in which I used to think of them as esteemed leaders, two of our Good Shepherd leaders, a pastor and a COO, took on the double dog dare-a-thon challenge. One was to see who could put the most post-it notes on their bodies. I think there's been a little bit of fudging with some of those pictures. But anyway, most of it is accurate. And then there was the whipped cream hairdo. There was the ugliest selfie. There was the most awkward facial. And then the kids took on the challenge by doing this challenge. They came up with these pictures, including the most awkward family picture. So this is by way of getting their friends to get engaged. The initiative was to invite, to encourage, to invest in our students. You see, around our Naperville community, there's some 60 to 70% of our community that's still unchurched. And so we've been investing and we've been inviting and we've been intentional, doing crazy stuff to have the kids do the inviting. And lots of kids have been invited to do crazy things like double dog dare-a-thons. And in the process of the craziness and inviting friends and all the other fun, wacky stuff they've been doing, they've also broken down some barriers, and they've had some incredible conversations about God. One of our Good Shepherd students has a friend who's going through a storm in her life. Her friend's parents have been fighting, and now it looks like they're going to get a divorce, and her friend doesn't know if there's a God because the friend has been praying to God and nothing seems to be changing yet. But the friend from Good Shepherd invited her friend to come to Club 45, and not only has she had a really good time, but some incredible stuff has happened, and the family gave me permission to share this email that they wrote to us just this past week. My table group got on the subject of God, and my friend said she didn't believe in God because when her parents were fighting, God didn't seem to do anything to stop it. And I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know how to defend God, and she seemed like she had a pretty good point. Now I know that God doesn't just make a person stop, but God can enable us to be there for our friends. God can enable us with God's power to help our friends in difficult times. To conclude, my friend has decided to come to Club 45, and she's had a really good time. And we've had some really good talks about God. Because of our opportunity to talk about God, there is now an opening for her to experience God's healing. And some good stuff is starting to happen. In the midst of that storm, God is empowering this little Club 45er with God's words to say. God's words and God's presence. And it's making a difference. I thank God for a community like this that cares for the kids in our community. I thank God for a community like this that cares for the people in our community, no matter what their needs might be. One of those ministries that Good Shepherd is deeply involved in is a ministry called Bridge Communities. And we have a number of our members who are active in that, serving as mentors. The ministry is this. It's a ministry for homeless people that live right in the Naperville area. And we have sponsored a couple of different families. Now, they're usually a woman with children, homeless. And the program is to get them into a home and to teach them life skills, how to interview for a job, how to budget, how to manage their money, how to make better financial decisions and all that. They go through a 2-year mentoring program, and the goal at the end is that they can become independent, that they can afford their own housing, and they get them into job situations and they help them along the way. And one of the residents that we had been helping and mentoring for an entire year of a 2-year program left the program. In fact, she was invited to leave because she was no longer abiding by the rules, and she knew that she had to go. But just recently, she emailed this to the mentors of our Bridge Communities ministry team here at Good Shepherd. "I just wanted to let you all know that I am doing well, and I think about you every day, and I hope you're doing well too. I wanted to let you know how grateful I am for all of the help and advice and mentoring you guys gave me. You helped me through the toughest year of my life. I have been following your lead. I've been following your mentoring. And now I have been able to buy a new car with the money that I saved." Well, it's not really a new car. It's a 2009 Toyota Corolla, but I paid for it myself. And I've paid off my debts. And I'm working on purchasing my own condo, the one I'm renting now. And I should be able to do it, hopefully in another few months, maybe another year. But I just wanted to say thank you, because I would not be where I am without your help." Empowered by God, that ministry team made a difference in the life of that person. Right here in Naperville. God gives us all kinds of opportunities. Some are real close as within the walls of this church. Some are right outside the walls. Some are in our neighborhood. God desires for all of us who follow Jesus and who desire to serve Jesus and who want to learn from Jesus and become like Jesus to be empowered by Jesus. And sometimes that has a global dynamic to it, like the ministry that we do with Cheryl's home, Cheryl's Children's Home. And as you leave today, there'll be opportunity for some of you, or maybe all of you, to engage in how we can better support and continue to support the children, the orphans at Cheryl's Children's Home, a wonderful, empowered by Jesus ministry. Another one of those ministries, and we have many here, is Feed My Starving Children. And a lot of that takes place right here in terms of the work we do. We have opportunity in Aurora, and just a couple of weeks, we have an opportunity at North Central College to be part of an experience where they have asked us to pack 1.2 million meals. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a second. But I want you to know that the impact of these meals goes way beyond just feeding a starving child. The impact of these meals is that the meals are delivered so that children who would otherwise starve to death are given food to eat so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And sometimes it takes on even broader dynamics. Like, for example, the email that we just received from Feed My Starving Children about something that's been happening in that ministry down in Haiti. 7 months ago, Pastor John, who works with Feed My Starving Children, was reluctant to show me this email he had received. It's an email to one of the other Feed My Starving Children workers. The email was from a gang leader named Santana. He had told Pastor John that he was the angel of death and that he had saved two bullets just for Pastor John because he wanted Feed My Starving Children food, and he was fearful that Pastor John would not give it to him. So the first thing that Pastor John said was, well, we should meet this person. And so he sent one of our workers to get this person and invite him to come to our compound, which he did. They set up a meeting. Soon Santana and his soldier, his bodyguard, came. They invited him to sit down, and the first thing they did was they prayed together. We found out what his need was, and then we found out about the poor people in his community that he wanted to help. So we gave him food, and we gave him clothes, and we sent him back, and then we sent our worker to go with him to make sure it was equally distributed. The worker came back with an incredible report. Yes, all of the food, all the clothing had been distributed to the people who needed it the most. Over the months since that first contact, a relationship has evolved. They have come into a relationship with Santana, in which Santana now calls Pastor John his papa, and he calls Sandra, the other Feed My Starving Children leader, his mama. And he told them how through them God had changed his life, empowered him to do things he never thought he would do. So, just the other day, Santana was meeting with Pastor John and said this to Papa. He said, I don't want to scare you, but I've been approached by another gang who has a hit out on you, Pastor John. I accepted the hit, not because I wanted to bring you harm, but because I'm here to be your bodyguard. I want you to know that I'm praising God. These are the words of Santana. Because what Satan intended for evil, God turned it around for good and changed my heart. God bless you all. We don't know all the ways in which God works, but we trust that God, who is the one who promises his power, is the one who works way beyond what we could ever hope or imagine. In just a couple of weeks, we have an opportunity to go over to Feed My Starving Children. There's word in your bulletins about how you can sign up electronically, or there's many people out there. You can sign up for a shift. It's only a couple hours. And it's an incredible opportunity for you. And because we care so much about this, and because Feed My Starving Children has such a high estimate, our original goal was to pack 1 million meals. They came to us and they said, we need you to pack 1.2 million meals. We know that's a big jump. But the hurricanes, Hurricane Maria and the other hurricanes in Puerto Rico and that have been down, they've impacted so many people far beyond what we anticipated. We need more meals. Will you please consider doing 1.2 million meals? And they said that's going to take 6,000 people to pack those meals. And we jumped right in. We said, we'll do it. And because I know that Good Shepherd is a high-capacity community, I said, and of those 6,000, 1,000 of them are going to come from Good Shepherd. And don't let me down. Because I know that God can do more than we can ever hope or imagine. I trust that God is working in your hearts right now and you're going to sign up. And if you don't sign up, you know, here's the deal. I get it. I trust you. You are smart people. You are intelligent people. You make good decisions. You are important people and you have important things to do. So if you don't sign up, I know that it's because you've got something more important to do than feeding a starving child. If you don't sign up, I'm thinking it must be really big that you'd get in the way of feeding a starving child. Now that's the soft sell, okay? Wait till you hear the hard sell next. No, I know that you guys are going to respond. 450 of you already have. We trust that God is working in your hearts. And the reason that we bring this invitation in this way is because we really care about those little children who will not see their next birthday without you. And we really care about you because we know that God wants to empower you to make a difference, not only to feed a starving child, but to bring the message of Jesus Christ to those children all over the world. And so whether you respond to the needs of Cheryl's Children's Home or the needs that are being met by Feed My Starving Children or the needs that are met through other ministries, we know that God is working in you, empowering you. And so I'd like to simply close this message by saying, consider this invitation today to be a message from the Lighthouse. It's your call. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for empowering us, inviting us to follow you, to serve with you, to learn from you, and to become like you. Lord, empower us this day, not only to be your children, but to be your full-fledged disciples, doing those things that show and demonstrate that you are working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Amen.